Governor Charlie Crist must appoint two new justices to the Florida Supreme Court within the next few months in order to replace two justices who've announced their retirements. Today, at the Tampa International Airport, the Supreme Court Judicial Nominating Commission began interviewing the 50 candidates who have applied for the positions.
The most important thing I think I will ever do as governor of Florida will be these appointments to the Florida Supreme Court.
Governor Crist made a brief appearance in the middle of the interview of Tallahassee Judge Charles A. Francis. Crist, who is likely to appoint a total of four new members to the seven-person court during the next year, thanked the Nominating Commission for their work and said that the process of nominating new justices will create a lasting impression for decades to come.
I know that you have an awful lot of interviews, and they're all great people, but we have sort of a historic task before you, and that is to, over the next 6 to 9 months, help us, through our teamwork together, select four new justices for the Florida Supreme Court. I don't think that's ever happened in that short a period of time.
Charles A. Francis is a chief judge in Tallahassee. Like several of the other applicants, Francis said that because of budget shortfalls, courts need a dedicated funding source from the legislature. Francis doesn't like the trend toward increasing diversion fees, which he says sets up a system of fee justice where people who can't afford court can't get a fair hearing.
I've already seen it, the cost of prosecution, the $100 extra mandatory cost of prosecution. I've already seen the plea agreements coming in now across the state. If you pay that at your time of your plea, you won't go to jail. Otherwise, you might have to do jail time. That's fee justice. It's not right. And I think that's what I think that's our biggest problem we're facing, how not to go back to a fee justice system that we had. And it's different than making people pay for crime. There's a difference here. It's really getting out of hand for just about everybody, except you might have almost two court systems, those that can pay and then the pro se systems. And I think that's a real risk and fear.
Judge Peter D. Webster from Tallahassee also said he would urge the legislature for a dedicated source of funding for courts because when the economy becomes depressed, the court workload increases. Webster, who is an active member of the American Judicature Society, said he believes in judicial pragmatism and admires U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts.
Much of what he said there regarding judicial philosophy and the roles, the respective roles of the three branches of government, I think is consistent with my views. And I think in many respects, his views regarding judicial administration and philosophy are similar to mine. I think from what I've seen so far that his approach to deciding cases is fairly similar to mine as well.
John C. Murphy from Melbourne Beach has only been a judge for a year and a half, but emphasized his experience as a commander in the Army Reserve. It includes a year he was on active duty during the current U.S. military occupation of Afghanistan. Murphy stressed that he is in favor of the death penalty, thinks that judges should not legislate from the bench, and said that his judicial philosophy includes respect for the rule of law.
And after being in Afghanistan, where the rule of law is not primary, but the rule of man is primary, I will tell you that it really brings this home.
In order to serve on the Florida Supreme Court, applicants must be lawyers or judges who have been members of the Florida Bar Association for 10 years. Each applicant was given a 25-minute interview. Miami appellate judge Angel A. Cortinas was raised by his mother after emigrating from Cuba, where his father died in prison. Cortinas was asked how he would describe his judicial philosophy.
Closest to strict constructionist. I wouldn't necessarily say a textualist, because a textualist might completely throw out all types of legislative history or historical record, but I would first and foremost focus on the clear meaning of a statute.
It's likely that a new Chief Justice will be selected from one of the new appointments. James R. Wolfe of Tallahassee has been a judge in the 1st District for 18 years. He said the state Supreme Court ruled appropriately in Bush v. Schiavo when they said the legislature did not have the authority to stop the removal of a feeding tube from the dying woman.
I don't want to comment on the underlying issue, but I think the Supreme Court made two very strong statements there about separation of powers. They said that the legislature, you are the policy-making people, and you have to come up with the policy. And giving the governor unbridled discretion to determine what is going on in this case without any guidelines, that is an illegal delegation of your power. And Florida has held very strongly and said over and over that illegal delegation or separation of powers is very, very important.
The 9-person nominating commission is responsible for recommending up to 12 of the 50 applicants to Governor Crist, who would have to select 2 from that list. The commission's chair is Robert Hackelman.
You're only seeing a snapshot of the process. Each candidate has been vetted by one member of this committee extensively, and most candidates have had different members of the committee also doing overlapping investigation. So by the time they come here for this process, it's but a very small slice of a very long process.
Among the other applicants is L. Clayton Roberts, a 1st District Court of Appeals judge who was appointed by Crist, his former boss. Roberts had served as Deputy Attorney General under Crist, but is best known for his position under former Secretary of State Catherine Harris. Before the 2000 election, Roberts, who was the director of the Division of Elections, played a part in purging tens of thousands of voters. Investigative journalist Greg Powis determined that many of them should have been allowed to vote. Several of the applicants were asked how they get along with their peers because, Hackelman said, collegiality is an important factor they have to consider.
The Supreme Court is a body that decides decisions collectively, and I think you've heard over and over it's okay to disagree without being disagreeable. So it's very important that members of the Supreme Court both have strong views as to how a case should be decided, but also have the ability to compromise and to respect the views of others that may be in the majority.
The interviews for the 2 Florida Supreme Court justice openings continue on Tuesday and Wednesday at the Tampa International Airport Marriott Hotel. They begin at 8:30 each morning and are open to the public. For WMNF News, I'm Sean Canaan.